Hello and welcome to episode 33 of Women's Soccer Zone. My name is Kieran Tavam, and joining me a week after we released the last show, JJ, this is almost like a bonus version. How you doing, mate?
I feel like everyone's starting to get to know us a little bit better, Kieran. Consistency is key to success. Therefore, we're being consistent.
Yeah, and that's why we're not successful at the moment, because this show has been consistently inconsistent in terms of when it's been released. But we apologise for that. Working rotas and working day jobs do have a factor and a place in terms of why this show doesn't always come out when we would like it to. But on this occasion, we do have a show and we have plenty to pack into it. So we're going to have a chat about the WSL. There was a top of the table fixture. I say top of the table, it would normally be a top of the table in years gone past, but it was Chelsea against Arsenal, who of course are two of the top clubs in England, came up against each other. So we'll have a chat about that and some of the other fixtures in the WSL. The Swedish Damallsvenskan has now broken for the Olympic break, and we will talk a little bit about where that league is at the moment. We also have a chat about the NWSL. The Houston Dash finally ended a barren run in front of goal to earn a vital victory. And I've also got a couple of interviews. We mentioned the WSL. I spoke to Everton ladies on loan Arsenal striker Chloe Kelly. And I also spoke to Rosie White at Liverpool ladies about the upcoming Olympics and the chances of the Football Ferns. Of course, she plays for New Zealand. So after this short break, we will crack on.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSO Zone.
So JJ, listeners, we start with the FAWSL, and as mentioned in the intro, big game took place down in Staines, London this past weekend, where Arsenal ladies earned a valuable 2-1 victory away at the champions. JJ, I know you saw the highlights, and I guess I hate to do it, the first thing we've got to talk about is a bizarre own goal. For anyone that didn't see it, I'm going to let you in your best American tones describe what happened.
That is what I have for that own goal. Groan. No, I mean, look, as a goalkeeper, I've been there before. It's not pretty. You're positioned to one side, and then the defender completely forgets to read your mind and plays it to the other side of the box. And what's rule number one, Kieran? Never play a square ball towards the goal, because you never know what could happen. If it's wide of the goal, you miss it. Okay, it gives up a corner kick. You look bad, but you don't look completely stupid. But wow, yeah, that was a rough go of it. Van Veenendaal, I thought she actually played quite well in that match. She bailed that team out on a fair few occasions, but yeah, that was yikes.
Yeah, you're right. You never want to see it, especially with the game being on national television over here as well. For anyone that didn't see it, Sari van Veenendaal, the Arsenal goalkeeper, has played a pass out to Alex Scott out on the touchline. Alex is crowded out by a few Chelsea players, probably about 40 yards out from goal. She's played a pass back to van Veenendaal. It's not the most accurate pass, but you would have expected van Veenendaal to control the ball and just hit it out of play or hit it up the field. It's kind of bounced over her foot and gone into the back of the net for an Alex Scott own goal. Incredibly unfortunate, and the start that Chelsea would have liked. But credit to Arsenal, they came back into it, and it was a Vicky Lasada header from a Farrah Williams corner that levelled it up. And then it looked simple on television, but a really nice goal from Danielle van der Donk to win it in the end. And that's when class shows through, doesn't it, mate?
No, that it does. And I think the real winner of this one is the fact that Arsenal took their chances. They didn't get a whole lot of them, but they finished off what they got. On the other side for Chelsea, that was just poor. Absolutely poor in front of goal. Rafferty, I think her chance should have buried it in the second half. Spence, I think right after the own goal, she was in one-on-one. and just shot it right at Van Veenendaal. You know, when you, and I think there was a couple of bars and posts hit as well. So when you're missing that many opportunities and playing Arsenal, who that was basically a must win match at that point. As you look at the table right now, you have Arsenal now level on matches with Chelsea, 2 points behind them. But a loss for them probably puts them mid-table. Time is running out for a Champions League spot at that point, being, well, it would have been 5 points down. Yeah, that would have been it. So credit to them. They dug in, got the result. But for Chelsea, this, it seems like this month has just been kind of an on-slowing trudge through, losing in the Continental Cup, now a couple of results not going their way. They need to find something to bounce back on quick.
Yeah, and the team that will be looking from afar and rubbing their hands together is Manchester City Women. Haven't played in the league the last 2 weekends, and seeing Chelsea drop points at home to both Birmingham and Arsenal will certainly give them a lot of confidence in the next fixtures that are coming up. Speaking of Birmingham, who, of course, we mentioned Chelsea dropped points ahead against last week, they got a late winner against Sunderland Ladies through Charlie Wellens. They are, as we said last week, slowly and quietly going about their business. Solid at the back, not conceding many goals, not scoring a huge amount, but we saw Isabel Linden come back after injury. Kirsty Lynette, I believe, is not far off from coming back. She was on the bench. I think they're looking good, mate. I'm not sure how they go in terms of qualifying for the Champions League, but they're proving a few people wrong for sure.
No, that they are, and it's been a nice little bounce back what has been from the past few years for Birmingham. Of course, they're what, near bottom last year. Now all of a sudden a team that doesn't have many of their key players from returning from last season, but they're figuring out, like you said, just 6 goals in 10 matches, which you'd think, well, that's not going to win you anything, but conceding 5, that's brilliant. They do have one match played more than both Chelsea and Arsenal, and even though they're only 3 points back of the Blues, I don't think that they're going to catch up at that point. But, yeah, a top 3, top 4 finish, I think that would be really good note for them to end on as they head into that spring season next year.
Yeah, completely agree. And you mentioned some of those players that they lost, 2 of them, Jade Moore and Joe Potter, went over to Notts County Ladies. I was up in Liverpool this past weekend, and I actually went and saw Liverpool Ladies against Notts County Ladies. It finished 0-0. That's about as much as I've got to say about it, mate. It wasn't a good game. It wasn't good for the spectators, and we'll move on from that one. But while I was in Liverpool, I did also go and watch Everton Ladies, who are playing in the WSL2, and they played the leaders in the league, who'd only lost 1 game all season, Yeovil Ladies. They've been brilliant this year, really well managed by a good mate of mine, Jamie Sherwood. But they were hammered, mate. They got absolutely battered in the first half by Everton. Everton were 3-0 up by half time. They've got 2 on loan WSL1 players in Rossella Ayane from Chelsea and Chloe Kelly from Arsenal. Both of them were on the score sheet, and I know that you know the Yeovil keeper, or certainly you're aware of the Yeovil keeper, Beth Howard, who was recently signed by the club. Do you want to tell me a bit about her? Because it wasn't someone I was aware of before she joined.
Yeah, Beth is a player that is still enrolled at Rider University. That's a mid-major, I guess the technical term, at the Division One level. But what I understand is it's on an emergency amateur basis, so she still retains her NCAA eligibility for this season for Ryder. And she was, as you said, a player that kept Yeovil in that, even just being at 3-0 down, had zero defense to work with. I saw the highlights of that one. Not much help, but made a couple of brilliant saves to keep that team in it. I mean, 2 years ago, Ryder made it to the NCAA tournament, traveled out to the University of Washington, which that's, I guess, one of those, if you want to put it on paper, Kieran, that's probably saying like Yeovil taking on Liverpool, yeah, probably, and nearly pulled out a clean sheet, only lost that one 1-0. I think she had like 9 or 10 saves in that match just to keep her team in it. So British definitely will be a player that will no doubt, after her season this year, this fall, might be eligible to play in that spring season next year, especially now. You look at a Yeovil top of the table right now, if they can hold on to it, She can maybe be playing in WSL 1 as early as next February.
Well, we'll keep an eye on her for sure. She, as you say, had a very good game, and if it wasn't for her, Everton probably would have won 5 or 6 nil because they were camped in their own half for a large portion of that game. And actually, because I was up there, I managed to have a chat with one of the players who scored 2 of Everton's goals on the day, Chloe Kelly, who, as I mentioned in the intro, is on loan from Arsenal. Young prospect, has signed a new contract at the start of the year with the Gunners, so she is definitely a player the people should be looking out for. Good experience for her to go and work under Andy Spence at Everton, a manager who's known for developing young players and really giving them a chance. So here's Chloe having a chat about the game and also about the loan move from Arsenal. Chloe, good game for you today. 2 goals, only your 3rd appearance for the club. It's been a good week for you off the back of the results you had for England this week as well. Sum it up.
Yeah, it was. I've not been in training this week, so I've been away with England. So the girls regrouped from the performance that we had against Sheffield. And it was a bit difficult for me, like I haven't been at training. So, but all the girls bring you in and look after you, really. So it was good to get on the score sheet early and get a win.
First half especially, that movement between front three, yourself, Crystal Johnston, Rosella Ayane, it was pretty decent. I mean, how did you enjoy playing up top with those two?
Yeah, they're 2 great players. Can't fault them when they've had the amount of experience Joey's had, and Rosella, how skillful she is, and we're just going to grow each performance that we that's our third performance together, so the more we play together, the more we're going to do their movements. So I'm excited to see what happens from them playing with these two.
And this is a team that's top of the league. I mean, they haven't conceded many goals this season, and you guys, for the first, especially the first half an hour, you tore them apart. You moved the defence all over the place. How surprised were you that you were able to create so many chances?
Yeah, we knew it was going to be a tough game. Obviously, they're top of the league and they're a great team, but we got to think our qualities and what we can bring to the table, and we showed that first 15 minutes getting in their face and showing what we can do. So it was a test of our character pushing on from the Sheffield performance, and we showed that our character and our resilience to bounce back after that loss against Sheffield, and a great win today.
Got a bit feisty in the first half, especially early on. How'd you deal with that?
Yeah, you just got to keep your head, and it's going to happen in the heat of the game, but you just got to keep your head, and everyone's going to get a bit heated in the moment, but we get each other going and we'll see.
Still early days for you, but you've come up here on loan, come from a big club like Arsenal, but lots of young players. How much of a factor was it coming up here, not just wanting to get some game time because the squad down at Arsenal is so big, but coming to a club where young players are given a chance, especially when you look at the team that's gone out there today? Lots of players under 21, lots of players in their early 20s. How important was it for you to not only come to a club to get some time, but come to a club where they know how to look after youngsters?
Yeah, Arsenal's a great club, but it's same here at Everton. They treat you like a family and they bring you in and look after you, really. So, yeah, a young team, a bit different at Arsenal, but it's nice to get some game time under my belt after a long spell out of injury. Yeah, young players, but we have players in our team with great experience, and it shows on the pitch with them players with experience that they get you going. If things ain't going right, they get you back up. So we've got a balance of young players and players with experience, and the young players have experience as well. So it's not just young players, it's young, talented players with experience. So yeah, it's great.
What was the message from Pedro when he said, you know, there's an opportunity to go on loan? Yeah. What's he hoping for you to achieve up here?
Yeah, just get some minutes under my belt, play in a variety of positions on the wing, up top, and get minutes on my belt at a high level. It may be Women's Super League 2, but it's a great league and with great players in, and it's nice to be getting 90 minutes 3 weeks in a row, so haven't had that in a long while, so it's great for me, yeah, and just get some goals really and show what I can do and go back to Arsenal and bring it back to Arsenal, hopefully.
You signed a new contract at Arsenal not very long ago, obviously, long-term futures there. What's your ambitions, what's your aims in terms of the short spell that you've got here at Everton?
Yeah, I hope to show what I can do in this league and hopefully give Pedro a message that I'm still knocking on that door and I want to be in that Arsenal team and just show what I can do here and hopefully go back to Arsenal and get some minutes under my belt there and just break in and find my feet a bit. I found my feet and then I got injured, but it's the case of having to do that again and pushing older players and working for that spot. I'm not going to get it easily, so I need to work hard and show what I can do in this league.
Showed your composure, stepping up for the penalty. Is that something that you're used to? Used to taking spot kicks?
I wouldn't say so, no, but I was looking to get my hat trick today, but obviously it didn't happen, but hopefully next week get a few more goals. But yeah, it was great to take the penalty, and a leader like Michelle letting me take it, it's great of her just to say, that's it, you can have it. But yeah, it's great team, and we're like a family now, yeah. So we bounce back from the loss against Sheffield and we go again.
Talk about Andy Spence's influence early days, because he's used to working with young players and doing it for a long time. How have you found him early doors?
Yeah, he's a great manager, he knows what he's doing. He's got a lot of experience in the game and he got his tactics right today, didn't he? So you can't fault a manager that gets his tactics right. So yeah, he's a great manager and has great ambition of young players and believes in us, yeah.
Women's Soccer Zone would like to thank our partners, She Kicks Magazine. Subscribe at shekicks.net for even more women's football.
So that was Chloe Kelly. JJ, will move very briefly on to the Damel Svensken, because that has now gone on to the break, or has gone into its break for the Olympics. And we find, unsurprisingly, Rosengard at the top of the league. However, only 1 point ahead of nearest rivals Linköping. And Linköping do have a game in hand, but it was almost going into the break on level points, because at 2-1 down going into the 90th minute against Djurgården, up stepped one classy individual where the cream always rises to the top. Lotta Schelin, making her debut for the club, scored in injury time to earn her side a 2-2 draw. Now, I know it's difficult to follow the Swedish Damallsvenskan, JJ, but what have you made of it first half of the season from looking at it from afar?
Looking at it from afar, just as you said, it's a two-team race. Rosengard and their 11 of just quality players, internationals, world-class superstars, and Linköping, who's hanging right with them. 1 point down, but obviously with that draw from this past weekend, now Linköping bolstered a little bit by that, knowing that when they will pick up that match, they probably should go, if not level, past them, which will obviously then set up for a very climactic finale. I know Rosengard, the artist formerly known as Malmo, they don't often lose at this big stage, so they're going to need to dig down deep once they get back from the Olympics, because I think, look, Kieran, it's only a couple of months left in their season once the players return from Rio, is that correct?
Yeah, not many games left, mate. Not many left at all.
So, yeah, they're going to have to, you don't want to say win out, but you have to think that every match is a season pivotal one, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It's a two-team race, and what I like about them is their different styles. You've got almost the Galactico team of Rosengard. They've got well-known individuals. We've mentioned Lotta Schelin. They've got Marta. They've got Ali Riley. They've got Anita Asante. They've got big personalities, big players in that team. And then you've got Linköping, who, star player without a doubt, is Danish striker Pernille Harder. She is constantly scoring goals for that team every season. She is the standout. But I think when Pia Sundhage announced her Sweden squad for the Olympics, and we will talk about the Olympics in the coming weeks ahead of the tournament, she announced, I think it was 5 players from Linköping, and that tells you everything you need to know. There is quality in that side, and more importantly, it's homegrown quality. I mean, I look at players like Fridolina Rolfo, who I think she's a player to look out for sure. She is a young prospect. I saw her play for Linköping against Liverpool in the Champions League a couple of years ago, and she absolutely tore them apart. And I think she's definitely a player to look out for. And I think it's going to be interesting. And it's good that Linköping have kept pace with Rosengard, because the last thing you want is a one-horse race, which is really, if we're honest, what we get in France every year with Lyon. So be interesting to see how that one unfolds. I tell you what, mate. I was going to move on to the NWSL after we'd covered Sweden, but I ridiculously forgot to mention quite an important piece of news that was announced this week. And while we're in Europe, I want to cover off the UEFA Women's, or the UEFA Best Women's Player in Europe shortlist that was announced this week. I don't know if you saw it, but it was a list of 10 individuals. I will reel them off very quickly. It was dominated by Lyon, to be honest with you. Camille Abeli of France, Edda Hegerberg of Norway, Amandine Henry of France, Saki Kumagai of Japan, Eugenie Le Sommer of France, Amel Majiri of, they've got it listed as Tunisia, which I'm a bit confused by because we know she plays for France, but I'm going to say Amel Majiri of France, Jennifer Marajan of Germany, Louisa Nassib of France, Alexandra Popp of Germany, and Wendy Renard of France. Now, I've mentioned the countries, but if you break it down by club, I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 players from Lyon, if you include Jennifer Marajan. The only player that doesn't represent Lyon in that list is Alex Popp. What did you make of the list when you saw it, mate?
Well, you know what? Let's just go against the grain and give it to Alex Popp. Why not? Because let's choose the one non-Lyon player, right? But look, listen, I mean, that just is a testament to not only how strong and how world-class Lyon is, but the fact that all of those players can thrive playing for that club and, I'm going to say, beating up team week after week, but doing it with such class and such skill. So I'm not surprised when I see that list. I think it's one of those who's going to win the last round of rock, paper, scissors to take on the title, but I think that's really about it. It's a pick 'em at this point. You can't really decipher.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the disappointing thing for me is that it really does kind of represent and reflect that the deeper you go into the UEFA Women's Champions League, the more exposure you're going to get, and I think the more chance you've got of being nominated. I mean, if you look at the 10 players have been nominated. I've said Jennifer Marajan of Lyon, but of course she will have been nominated based on her performances for Frankfurt and for Germany. Frankfurt got to the semi-finals of the Champions League. The rest of those players that we've named were playing in the final. I look at someone like Pernille Harder, who's been playing for Linköping. We mentioned her a few minutes ago. I think she came 11th on the list of voting, and I genuinely believe that she should be in that top 10. She's been phenomenal for Linköping and for Denmark over the last few years, not just this year. So I think she's very unfortunate. I saw that I think Vivian Miedema was up there in the list. I think Ramona Backman was up there on the list. So I think for me, there are players that are probably missing that probably should be in there. But like you said, it's very, very difficult to argue against those that are in there. I just think there's probably one or two that are maybe a little bit more deserving. If I had to ask you to stick your neck out to pick a winner, who would you go with?
Well, as I said, it's a pick 'em, so it's really going to come down to... Actually, I don't really have... Kieran, I'll be honest, I don't have much of a factor where it's going to come down to. They're all such quality players. But Hegerberg, yeah, that I know that might be your pick, but I'm going to go with that one. Because it was just, it was one of those where I think maybe even she said it, that it was just destined that this was going to be the year that they win it.
Yeah, I mean, it's an obvious choice for me. Hegerberg, I think, being top scorer in the Champions League, phenomenal performances for Lyon in the French Division 1 as well. Yes, it's a bit biased because it's known that I get on very well with Ada and she's been on this show a number of times, but the closest contender for me is Amandine. I think Amandine Henry again has had a phenomenal year. She has had some time out with injury, though. I think if you're going to base it on the last season, Amandine didn't play the whole year. She did have spells out with injury. Eugenie Le Sommer is always going to be up there. I think she's phenomenal. That chemistry, we spoke about it on a show about a month or two ago. The chemistry between Le Sommer and Hegerberg is, I think, unrivaled in European football. So I think it's going to be probably down to those two, if I'm honest, or down to those three if you include Henri. So, yeah, be interesting. But, yeah, very much dominated by Lyon. So I think the winner is due to be announced on the 25th of August. And once that has been announced, we will, of course, discuss that on a future episode. So we will now take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the NWSL.
Women's Soccer Zone. It's all about the players.
So welcome back, JJ, NWSL. I know we only covered this off last week, but there were, of course, fixtures this past weekend. I guess the best place to start is probably the Houston Dash ending their six-game run without a win, without a goal, and they score three against the league leaders. They were impressive at the weekend, weren't they?
Well, I mean, that was one of those matches that we've been waiting for a long time. And, you know, I know there's a lot of talk down there about trusting the process and, you know, it's going to happen. And I think I said in previous shows that once they score, they're going to start scoring in bunches. And we saw that this past week. Obviously, Ohio found the net. Daly found the net. Amber Brooks got her first goal for that club. So, overall, good performance against a Thorns team that, Karen, we're now starting to see that the vulnerability is there. That's a couple of matches dropped consecutively now. Washington Spirit level on points, better goal difference, and two matches in hand. Western New York, one match in hand, 1 point behind. So the Thorns have been caught. I think it's just been a little later than we thought, as expected. But then again, at the same time, where you look at the top four, the Thorns have given themselves cushion to where Sky Blue FC, which I know we'll talk about that in a couple minutes, that is the fifth place team. That's a 7-point advantage with only the New Jersey Bay side with one match in hand. So for Portland, it's worrisome, but at the same time, all they need to do is just focus on getting themselves ready for the Northwest Derby on the 30th. But at the same time, for Houston, now you have to question how late for them. They have matches in hand in a lot of them, but can they perform like this every week until the season is over? The class is there, but they need to do it on the field.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think one of the things that was really important at the weekend was that team needed to win for Randy Waldrum, because while no one has been suggesting that he should be fired or that his position should be brought into question, there is no denying that with the quality that team has and the lack of goals that they've been scoring, his position is going to be not necessarily questioned, but you could understand if people were maybe raising a few doubts. But they answered that really, really emphatically with the 3-0 win. You're absolutely right about Portland. We spoke about it last year. We spoke about it this year. When players go away for major tournaments, that is when the real test begins, because you have to pick up players and you have to select players that maybe you wouldn't normally. Portland, as much as Houston, to be fair, let's not forget, they are going to be missing a lot of players as well. And they were missing a lot of players. But what Randy Waldrum did was that he went into the draft and he selected very well. I'm not saying that Portland didn't, but Portland obviously had one or two maybe that they wouldn't have been expecting to be selected for the Olympics that have now been selected to go to Rio.
No, you're right. And I mean, you know, that comes down to Ali Long going to Rio, which, as you said, I think even 7 months ago, we wouldn't have seen. Maybe even at the start of the season, we weren't seeing. But you look at it, Sonnet was Portland's first-round pick, and then they traded away both the second and then the third-round pick and haven't gotten anything out of it yet. So, well, they did get Nadia Nadim, but they didn't get anything out of the pick. Whereas, you say, Houston, they picked up Kerry Vaccaro, Rachel Daly, and Janine Becky, where they probably figured that Becky was going to go to the Olympics. Vaccaro, at that time, we weren't sure if she was going to be fit or not at this point in the season. Well, she's already played a handful of matches and started, so she's quite there, and Daly's been very solid. So, as you say, Houston did better stockpiling those assets for this time of the season. Now it's really going to be a question, can they put it on the field? You're going to have to say they have 9 matches left where everyone has at least 7, maybe some 6. They need to win 3 straight on the bounce in their next 3 just to even say that they might have a chance of getting there.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Well, they look good at the weekend, and if they can continue that on to the next few weeks, they'll have a good chance. We kind of started with them because of the fact they beat the top of the table side. We haven't spoken very much about the Washington Spirit over the last few weeks, and I'll hold my hands up to that. And it's not necessarily because we don't want to, but it's because there've maybe been some stories that have made the headlines that have maybe meant we've had to overlook them a little bit. But second in the league, joint top, in fact, I say second in the league, joint top in terms of points with Portland, but two games in hand. Now, they are a side that are quietly going about their business, and actually, a lot of people's pre-season prediction to do very well. They are fulfilling that optimism that people had for them, and they got another good result at the weekend, a 3-2 win in FC Kansas City.
Yeah, they did. Bonini, who is funny, when Mark Parsons originally brought her in last year, he called her the Argentinian women's Messi. She got hurt very early on in the season, so we never really got to see that. But now, all of a sudden, Estefania Bonini, her skill, her speed, and her finishing ability, well, you know what? He found an absolute diamond in the rough right there. And Argentina is kind of one of those nations that are in that group well behind Brazil, but not getting battered by everybody else. But they're not really a power. But all of a sudden, we have, where we see one of their best players from the national side performing week in and week out. And then the rest of the team, sure, are they missing five internationals going to the Olympics? Absolutely. Are they all five starters? You bet. But they're another team that had stockpiled assets away, just waiting for the opportunity, and they're grabbing it by the horns, and they're taking advantage of it. And now, as you said, two matches in hand, level on points, they're going to be in first place. I can almost guarantee you they're going to be in first place, if not second solo, by the Olympic break.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a lot more to say, to be honest. I think they've been hugely impressive. They've got players in there that are there all season, the likes of Christine Nerin, who continues to impress from midfield. And as you say, Bonini and Francisca Ordega as well has again stepped up to the plate and has influenced that side in a big way. The losses to the Olympics, the players they've lost to the Olympics is obviously a blow, but as you say, managing quite comfortably without them and really going about their business. Won't cover every game because we don't tend to every week, but I want to finish off with Boston against Sky Blue FC. I know both of us saw that game. Sky Blue, Molly Patman's last game. She announced her retirement last week. She's going to be going to medical school. It's a loss for Boston, isn't it? They're already struggling, and now they lose a good defender and someone that I'm sure will have played a big part up to the end of the season for Matt Beard. And another defeat. It's not getting any easier for them, is it?
No, it's not. But then again, we saw better things from Boston this week. As what we're hearing, Christy Mewis is getting closer and closer to being 100% fit. Some of these signings that are coming in are getting themselves ready to go. And then the group that they have there, you know, they work. They are a working team. They're doing whatever that they can to try and get themselves at least a couple of results. I spoke with Matt Beard a couple of weeks ago, and he said that, yeah, they're obviously disappointed and frustrated that they can't get the results despite putting in decent efforts and decent showings. But, you know, they're getting closer, and I think that they have still a couple of decent looks at, you know, they're going to finish bottom, but they're going to pick up a couple of more wins. But at the end of the day, you also have to credit Sky Blue, because no one, and I mean absolutely no one, had them at this position in fifth place at this time of the year with a realistic chance now of cracking the top four.
I have already got a hold of my hands up. I've got a very red face, and I'm not talking because of the heat wave over here in London at the moment. My pre-season predictions, I had them finishing bottom, and it makes me look very, very silly at the moment, and probably should mean I should pack up this women's football, women's soccer malarkey up for good, because, they have been really, really good. They have looked lively going forward. I think Leah Galton has been a real standout for them, offering something that really benefits teams in the US, and that's raw pace. I mean, she has given problems to every right back that she's come up against this season so far, and scored a goal, assisted a goal, winning the penalty that Sarah Killian put away. I think she's been a real standout, and I've got to say there was a lot of hype from you guys over in the States, and obviously I don't get to see her because of the college system, but Raquel Rodriguez, what a player she is.
Oh, she's absolutely just blossomed and continues to get better week in, week out, and that we're questioning, and also you don't have to just completely hold your own hands up. I have to be accountable too. I'm pretty sure I had them, if not last, one of the bottom two teams in my projections as well for Our Game magazine. So it's not just you, it's a lot of people. But a lot of people were interested to see how the midfield would look with Katie Friels retiring after last season, and who would partner with Sarah Killey in the midfield. Well, Rocky Rodriguez has just filled that role admirably, and she is the engine in that center of the park. She will dictate the tempo, dictate the speed, will pass. She'll shoot on the rare occasion, but she takes a lot of the load of pressure off of Killian. Not to say that Sarah Killian's a bad player. She's a former U.S. Youth International U-20 World Cup champion, but it allows her to be more free in the midfield. Rodriguez, obviously, is world-class, and you know, combining that with the likes of Galton, with the likes of Tasha Kai, who none of us saw that coming back, and then when she announced that she was coming back, we're like, oh, that's phenomenal. If she scores a goal or two, that's going to be great. Well, she's in every week and having some sort of impact, and then you have rookies that are holding their own in the net, and oh, by the way, a 41-year-old playing center back who still outruns 20-year-olds. So they have as a fighting chance at worth of anything. But going back to what I said about Washington Spirit, they can propel themselves up the ladder. But also Sky Blue can, because guess what? Those two teams are facing each other twice in the next 2 weeks. So the winner of that tiny head-to-head is going to be the team that's going to be clapping their hands going into the final few weeks of the season.
We saw Sky Blue winning Washington already, haven't we? I think they were very, very good in Washington. I think Tasha Kai scored in that game, if I remember rightly. So definitely a couple of fixtures to look out for. Going to go back to Boston very quickly, mate. We won't talk about the major problems that they've got because we've spoken about it so many times already. One thing they've tried to do with the retirement of Molly Patman, it freed up a space in the roster. They made a trade with the Western New York Flash to obtain an international roster spot, and they have acquired Natasha Dowie, who of course was a player that left Doncaster Rovers Bells a few weeks ago. We mentioned that on the show prior to her going, prior to it being announced. We had an inkling that she might be coming over to the United States. What do we think she can do in terms of helping that side between now and the end of the season?
Well, I think she gives a little more of a veteran leadership to that team. She's been around. She knows what she has to do to be successful, and she's a winner because she's won a couple of times with Liverpool before. So that's another player that also understands what Matt Beard is trying to do with that team, can add that final line, because you actually look at it, and a piece that I did put out for the magazine's website about the Liverpool connection at Boston. You have a goalkeeper, former Liverpool player. You have the center back in Whitney Angen, former Liverpool player. Luis Schilgard, former Liverpool player in the midfield. And now Tash Dowie up top, former Liverpool player. So you have that spine perfectly set of players that know how to play in that system. Now, again, they have to hybrid that from the English game to the American game to pick up to where the pace and the physicality is. But if they can mesh those two together and find the, you know, it's not going to be this year, but hold on to all those players and find the necessary fillers in the different positions, then they could be all right for 2017.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. Tash, obviously a goal scorer, scored plenty of goals over here in England in the FAWSL and in the Women's Premier League prior to the WSL launching. Wish her luck, because it's not an easy job that she's got there trying to propel that team up the league, and it will be interesting to see how she copes, because they are a team lacking in confidence, or certainly look from the outside like they're lacking in confidence, but I'm sure they'll keep fighting until the end of the season. JJ, I think we'll wrap the NWSL up there, mate, and when we come back we will finish off very quickly with our second interview of the show. So back after this very short break.
Women's Soccer Zone, Listen to the show on Audioboom or download via iTunes. Just search for Women's Soccer Zone.
So as mentioned before the break, we have our second interview. But before we go into that, I want to set it up properly. Of course, we are not oblivious to the fact that in 2 weeks' time, the Olympic Games kick off in Rio. And of course, there is a major element of that that is made up with the women's football. And of course, we will do our best to bring as much coverage as we can, or as much response to those Olympic Games as we can. JJ, we're going to try and do some preview shows next week, aren't we? Do you want to tell listeners what we're aiming to do?
Well, as long as, first off, we get the Boston Pops Olympic fanfare to open up each show. I think that's almost kind of a necessity, yeah?
We can do that, yeah, we can do that.
Okay, excellent. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to look at each of the groups, kind of break down what we're going to look for from each team, who's, you know, what's going to be the key factor to be successful, because again, unlike the World Cup, it's half of the teams, but 8 go to the quarterfinals, and you have to win that quarterfinal to get your chance at a medal. So we're going to see who's going to impact, who might be a surprise, and who's going to be standing on top of the medal podium in Rio in recording the show nearly a month's time. So yeah, 4 weeks. It's moving on us pretty quickly. So you know, we'll break all that down. I know that we're going to be looking to get some guest analysts to have a go at their native countries, and we'll throw in some predictions as well.
Yeah, hopefully we can get some people on as long as they're available. Otherwise, it'll be you and me breaking it down, and I'm sure we'll do our best with the knowledge that we have. I can't believe it's come around so quickly. I was at Wembley Stadium and watched the USA against Japan in that gold medal match, and it almost feels like yesterday. It's quite scary how the years are going so quickly, and before we know it, the 2019 World Cup will be on the horizon, and Euro 2017 is only around the corner. But lots to look forward to in Rio. Now, the reason I wanted to mention the fact that we're going to be doing those shows is obviously to make you aware, but also to tee up our final interview. While I was in Liverpool at the weekend, I did have a chat with Liverpool ladies striker Rosie White, who will of course be out in Rio with the Football Ferns New Zealand. So I wanted to have a chat with her about how she's feeling going into that tournament and how she feels her team might fare. So here's Rosie. So Rosie, first question, I'll talk about New Zealand and the Olympics shortly, but we're talking to you while you're still with your club, Liverpool. Looking at where the team is at the moment, doing well in the league, have had some promising results. No doubt people were impressed with the two draws that you got against Man City, the only team that's been able to prevent the team from winning this season. A few people wrote you off at the start of the year when Matt Beard left and a few high profile players also departed. How pleased have you been with how the club has performed this year so far?
It's been really good. I think kind of throughout the first half of the season as well, we kind of were slowly progressing with each game, and it's been a bit of a process getting the new group to gel together, but I think that we've kind of hit our stride a little bit and sort of found the style that we want to play, and kind of trying to find a combination of playing nice, pretty football with while still having a bit of fight and bite to us. So, it's been really exciting. I think we kind of didn't really know what our potential was when we kind of came together, but it seems like we've kind of found what we want to get out of ourselves and what we can do as a team. So yeah, it's been interesting. It's been a big learning curve, and hopefully we can just keep improving.
How important was it for you coming into this new season, having had the pre-season under your belt as well, because you came to Liverpool halfway through last year, which I'm sure will have been a big adjustment for you, but how much more comfortable did you feel coming into this year, having had that pre-season under your belt and starting right from day one?
Yeah, starting from day one was important, I think, especially because it was everyone was kind of in the same boat as well, and it was all very fresh and new, and it kind of didn't really feel anything like it did last year. So it's been good to be part of it from the beginning and sort of see the growth of the team throughout the season, and kind of be able to be a big part of the way we've developed has been really cool. And it's been a totally different experience this season as it was last year, and it was nice to already have kind of found my feet in Liverpool and know where I'm at. But then, yes, kind of starting again this year is really good.
A lot of changes, a lot of new players came in. You've had players come in from Holland, from Sweden, from, you know, there's obviously yourself from New Zealand, Satara Murray, USA. Some might suggest that it would be difficult to blend in a team that's got so many different nationalities from all over the place, but I saw a nice photograph of you getting a nice send-off from your teammates ahead of going to the Rio Olympics. Has camaraderie played a big part in how well the team's done this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think it didn't really take too long for us to kind of come together. I think because there's so many internationals and because everyone's kind of not from Liverpool, everyone's kind of become closer as well. So that's probably made it easier, the fact that we've kind of got so many different people and from different places and stuff. We're pretty like accepting of everyone being different and embrace that. So yeah, I think that the way the team has bonded has been really important to us, especially with the success of the last few games. And it's pretty cool that everyone's supportive. And yeah, they had a little dinner for me to send me off, and that was it was cool. Everyone's sort of connected, and yeah, it's important.
Now I saw there was a nice cake there as well. Did you stuff some of it?
No.
Come on, Rosie. You can't have a big cake like that and not at least dabble a little bit. You've got to have a taste. Going to say, you've got to get involved in that. But in terms of for your own development as well, having players from those different countries, you obviously grew up in New Zealand. You went to college in America with UCLA, played with some really good players that we spoke about when you first... when we first met, I think it was you had a game away at Arsenal, I think was when we first interviewed you, and we spoke about the players that you played with in UCLA, the Sam Mewises, the Abby Dolkempers, the Sarah Killians of the world. You'll now get surrounded by a lot of European-style players. How's it sort of been adjusting to that and playing and learning with players who have maybe different skills and abilities to yourself?
It's been really good for me, I think. You learn a lot from playing with people and playing against different people, and I really enjoy the different styles and kind of try and pick up different things from different people, and I think it definitely has helped me develop my own game and sort of realise what it is that makes me better and challenge myself around these kind of players. And especially in our team, we've got people with such different skill sets. So it's been really cool to kind of learn how to play best with them and how they play best with me. And I think it's really important to sort of broadening my own game and learning lots. So yeah, I think it's good for a team to kind of have people with different skills and from different places and to learn from each other and try and use them together to be effective. So yeah, it's been good for me.
I'm going to move on to New Zealand in 2 seconds, but I've got one final question. I saw a Q&A with Tash Harding on Twitter, and she was asked how she was getting on with her Scouse accent, and she gave a few phrases that she's picked up. How are you getting on with yours?
I don't even want to try. My Scouse accent is non-existent. I forget what it's even like when I leave, so... Yeah, I definitely don't do it justice.
Are you using any phrases?
But no one can do my accent justice either, so...
Well, no. The New Zealand one is a bit more difficult, and when people try it, it tends to come out Australian, so I can understand that one. Picked up any phrases, any words that you've started finding yourself using?
My favourite is boss. Boss.
Everyone loves boss. Everyone loves boss. Well, look,
boss that.
New Zealand... big opportunity and a big time for you coming up in just a couple of weeks. You head down to Rio and you have a ridiculously tough group down for the Olympic women's football. You've got Colombia, France and USA. How excited are you to come up against three teams that were all in the World Cup last year? But how difficult a challenge is it having those sides in your group?
Yeah, it's... I think, you know, the whole experience is going to be amazing. I think, yeah, we're really excited and we've got pretty high hopes of how we're going to go. But, you know, we're always going to come in as the underdogs in a group like that. which can only do us favours. I think we've got nothing to lose, especially going into the first game against USA, and that probably gives us a little bit of freedom to kind of go for it. So, yeah, I mean, if we want to do well at the Olympics, we're going to have to play against these teams anyway. So I think it's just an exciting challenge for us, and we feel pretty confident, and I think we've had some good results leading into the Olympics this year, and we're feeling good. We've had lots of our players overseas playing in top environments, and I think we kind of bring something different as a team to the table, and yeah, we're just really excited about the whole thing.
And what about you as an individual to say that whatever the outcome, you can say that you're an Olympian, or you will be an Olympian?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of something that I've always wanted. You know, as a little kid, I was like, I want to go to the Olympics. I didn't know what for at the beginning, but yeah, and especially for New Zealand, I think it's such a pinnacle event, sporting event, and I'm buzzing about it. It's going to be awesome, and being in Rio as well, really looking forward to it.
I know you guys were quite disappointed with how the World Cup last year turned out. Is this kind of, in your mind, an opportunity to maybe put a few wrongs right?
Yeah, definitely. We were pretty gutted about what happened at the World Cup, and I think we'll probably use that as a bit of extra motivation in the Olympics, because we don't really want to feel like that again. So yeah, I think we've kind of been right on the edge of doing some pretty cool things in these tournaments in the past, and hopefully we can kind of push our way through this time.
And for those that maybe don't know as much about the New Zealand team as some, other than yourself, who's a player that you'd say people should look out for? You've got a good mix of young and old in that squad, but who's the player that you think could have an impact?
Yeah, well, we do have a good mix. We've got loads of experience now as well. I think, you know, we've got the likes of Ellie Riley, who has just been so consistent and so great for New Zealand over the last 10 years or whatever. So I think she's probably someone to look out for. She's definitely someone that I look up to in the team.
Yeah, top player, obviously playing out in Sweden with FC Rosengard. I'll round it off. Give a little plug to your little side project that you've recently launched, because I think that's quite cool and quite interesting and a little bit different. We know that there are a lot of footballers who have skills and abilities off of the field. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I've kind of found a bit of my creative side over the last year, and especially being in Liverpool, and I'm doing a photography diploma at the moment, and that's kind of inspired me to get a website going, White Rose. And yeah, it's basically just kind of, I've just started it as a forum to kind of put all of my art and any projects or stories that I come across, and I'm kind of got the intention to sell it and donate some of the profits to cool organisations and charities that I come across, or just individuals with cool stories. And yeah, that's kind of been a side project, and hopefully I'll keep building that up and adding more stuff to it as I go along, and just, yeah, that's kind of what it's about, really.
So what's the website? Where can people find it?
It's called White Rose New Zealand. WhiteRoseNewZealand.com.
Brilliant. Rosie, thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSOZone.
So big thanks there to Rosie White and, of course, to Chloe Kelly earlier on in the show. JJ, we're going to wrap it up there, mate, because this was more of a bonus show because we weren't due to release one this week. But it allows us to then focus on the Olympics when we come back next week. So thanks, as always, for joining me, mate.
Absolutely.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in, as always. Obviously, if you've got feedback, you can contact us in a number of ways. You can speak to us on Twitter, on @WOSOZone. You can